Maybe you're looking to take that European getaway to the UK. For you history buffs, the border between Scotland and England is full of interesting stuff. Centuries ago, the borderlands were a lawless place, roaming bandits and feuding clans. These days, things are peaceful, but the political temperature is rising. Scots narrowly rejected independence from the UK a few years back. Now, pro-independence parties are expected to take a majority in tomorrow's Scottish parliamentary elections. And back on that border, things get complicated. Andrew Connolly reports from the village of Coldstream.
Coldstream used to host shotgun weddings for runaway English couples who could get married just over the border in Scotland without parental approval. But lately it's the prospect of a divorce from England that looms over this ancient frontier town, the inescapable question of Scottish independence. On a sunny spring afternoon, Malcolm Campbell tries to snare a salmon or a trout in the River Tweed. And on the other side, England.
It's a nice day to be fishing, but you're just not going to catch much.
For almost as long as he's been fishing, Malcolm has been dreaming of an independent Scotland, and his views have only hardened since Brexit and Boris Johnson. Most Scots don't like and didn't vote for either.
The UK government. I mean, Boris Johnson and his pals. Bad news.
Polls suggest that pro-independence parties could gain a narrow majority in the Scottish Parliament on Thursday, keeping the issue of a second referendum on the agenda. But Boris Johnson says the matter is settled and he will refuse to grant permission for a second one, whatever the election result. In that case, Malcolm thinks Scotland could take a page out of Catalonia's book in 2017.
So when you said, just go for it like Spain, you basically mean like a...
Yeah, wildcat.
A wildcat unsanctioned referendum.
Yeah.
Back then, the Spanish government called Catalonia's referendum illegal and imprisoned their leaders. The Scottish government says they'll seek a referendum legally, going to court if necessary. The ruling party has also pledged to rejoin the European Union after independence, but some people in Coldstream fear that could create a hard border with England.
So we actually have a population that straddles the border.
John Greenwell served in the British Army around the world before moving to Coldstream 12 years ago. He's now a local Conservative Party councillor.
Families have got people that live in Cornhill, which is only a mile down the road, which is in England. And we have business people that live in England but have their business here in Coldstream.
With a little over 100,000 people, the Borders is one of Scotland's most rural and sparsely populated areas. In the 2014 referendum, support for independence was strong in central Scotland, but here it was opposed by around two-thirds of voters, many of whom feel alienated by the movement.
It would mean that our members of our family, and me in particular, I have family that live in and work in England, would they suddenly become foreigners to us? So there are a number of issues that are on people's minds, and currency I think probably would be one of the top ones, family another one, and it's the unknown, it's stepping into the unknown I think that worries people, especially when we are so close to the border.
For the last 20 years, Scotland's Parliament has been given increasing autonomy to legislate over areas like the economy, education, policing and taxation. Throughout the pandemic, Scotland has sometimes diverged from UK lockdown policy, and the government briefly closed its border to non-essential travel from England. Some might argue a border of sorts is already in place, though some prime ministers disagree.
I would point out to my honourable friend what he knows very well, there is no such thing as a border between England and Scotland.
Yeah, elbow nudge, isn't it? Yeah. I'm looking forward to when handshakes will come back.
Retired friends John Elliott, Will Murray and Trevor Swan form part of the Coldstream Historical Society. They vividly recount the village's proximity to blood-soaked battles between Scotland and England, as well as its solid union credentials like the iconic red-uniformed and bearskin-hatted Coldstream Guards. They're the soldiers that guard Buckingham Palace. John says that despite the enduring differences thrown up by the river border, the community gets on fine.
We've lived cheek by jowl for centuries, and intermarriage is commonplace. And yet, this side of the border is fiercely Scottish in its traditions and customs, as is the other side of the border, fiercely English in its traditions and customs. Remember, we're only a stone's throw away, approximately a stone's throw away, and despite the passage of centuries, that remains the same.
But inevitably, the topic of independence bubbles to the surface. Will is a proud Scottish nationalist, and doesn't see the threat of a border.
I mean, just need to look at Ireland as an example.
Well, look at the mess it's in.
John is more sceptical and sees too much risk. Trevor, born just a mile away in England, sits on the fence.
If somebody can say to me, this will definitely not happen, and we'll definitely have a currency that is worth something, that can be supported...
Can I say that to you then? Can I say that to you?
Aye, but you have to back it up.
Just promise you, I'll guarantee it.
But see, that's the other thing about what I dislike intensely, is the whole issue is divisive. And it is a live issue in Scotland. It's extremely divisive. It's divided this nation down the middle.
So did Brexit.
Kirsty Hughes is the director of the Scottish Centre on European Relations, an independent think tank. She says that a border will be inevitable if Scotland joins the EU, but Scots and English probably won't have to show their papers to cross it.
I don't think it will reach that stage, because what everybody, or almost everybody, expects at the moment is that an independent Scotland would be part of something called the Common Travel Area, which at the moment encompasses the UK and the Republic of Ireland. And that means British and Irish citizens have the right to travel freely to each other's countries, to live there, to work there, even to vote there.
But would EU membership make up for the potential trade disruption with England?
So to make an economic case for independence, you've also got to set out what the plus points are and how you'd run economic policy differently, how you might restructure your economy over time, aim to export more to Europe compared to Britain and so on and so on. And I think what's quite surprising in the Scottish debate is the lack of such studies.
But Malcolm Campbell just thinks that the status quo is unfair, with Scotland's 5 million people at the mercy of political decisions made by its much larger neighbour, England. And if a border is the cost of independence, then so be it.
So we don't stand a chance. It's not a union of equals. So the United Kingdom is not a union of equals.
With important technical detail often drowned out by emotional appeals to sovereignty, the comparisons with Brexit are inevitable. And soon, the tranquil borderlands may be just the latest flashpoint in a world driven by binary choices. For The World, I'm Andrew Connolly, in the Scottish Borders.